This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
City of Minneapolis facing another lawsuit, this on the part of eight businesses in the area of 38th and Chicago, where George Floyd was murdered. These businesses say the city did little to protect their business in the days that followed the killing of George Floyd, when all the rioting happened and the violence. And joining us is one of those business owners. We welcome to the program on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Willie Frazier, who is the owner of Finish Touch Boutique. Willie, thank you so much for the time, for joining us on the radio today. Just if you would explain, after what happened to George Floyd, what has your life been like as a business owner in that part of the city?
Willie, are you there?
Are you there, Willie? Did we lose him?
Oh, no. Did we lose him?
We must have lost him. Anyway, we'll try to reconnect. But Willie is the owner of a Finish Touch Boutique, mm-hmm. one of eight businesses that have joined this lawsuit. Accusing, basically saying that the city of Minneapolis blocked off that four-block area around 38th and Chicago to give, you know, people a space to you know, mm-hmm. protest, but it turned into violence, and these business owners are upset about that. Willie, are you with us now?
Yes, I'm with you.
Thank you very much, sir, for joining us.
Willie.
Just explain what life has been like as a business owner in that specific area since George Floyd was killed.
It's been traumatizing, you know, mentally, financial. It's just been declining ever since that happened. We're declining every day over there. Some days, you know, we don't even open up our business. It's just really bad, you know, and we're holding on, though. But we have no traffic. It's a no-go-to zone now. No one come down there no more. The city done blocked everybody from down there. We have no traffic to support our business. They know we're over there. But for some reason, they were not coming to square. And it's kind of sad, but the city didn't have to go through this so long. And now they didn't put it off for another year. It just seems like they don't want us down now. They're trying to force us out of that. That's what we're saying now. You know, it just,
who's they, Willie? Who's they? Is that the police? Is that the city council?
No,
who's they?
The city of Minneapolis. You know, they haven't done anything down there. And one of the reasons why I feel like they haven't done nothing, because the wrong crowd of people is down there. If it was another crowd down there walking in a different direction, they would have been down there by now. For instance, if we were down there marching, I believe if we had on suits out in the middle of the street, looking like business people supposed to look and not the resident, they would have been made a move by now. But everybody down there, it's disbobulated, and they see that, and they playing along with that, but they're hurting our business. And so I feel like one day they're going to try to move in and take everything anyway, because they feel like we're done frying and don't know which way we're going down now. And they're just sitting back looking at us and waiting to make their move. And that's what I see, because they don't, they act like we don't exist down there. They give us no support at all. And I know if it was, I know there was other people dying now. They wouldn't have did this long. This never would have happened. It never would have happened. And everybody know that. It never would have went on this long.
So, you know, this area obviously became kind of the epicenter of this outburst after George Floyd was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And is that, for people who don't go down there every day or haven't been there recently, is it still a place that is just a place that is lawless?
Well, I'm glad you kind of mentioned that. A lot of people got input on that street right now. They don't come down now, and they don't stay in the area. And those people is the one that the city claiming holding them up for coming down there and do the project they're supposed to do. And they don't even not stay in their surroundings. So, we all just bobbleheaded down there because we want to know why their input is more important than the people that stay in the resident input is. They don't listen to us. They listen to the outsiders. When they say the resident, they're not talking about the people right in the middle of 38th Street because they really don't care about us right up in there. They're talking about outsiders that don't stay in the community. And I've told them in several meetings about this. Like everybody being in the meeting, you might have 20% that stay in the community at the meeting. The rest of them is all outsiders. And they all got their opinion what should go on in our neighborhood. And the city is holding us up because of their opinion, what they want to agree to. They don't know nothing about this area. And they're never going to come in this area. And I just don't understand why the city got so many opinions about this street with people that don't stay right in the area. And our business going on, going under every day.
Mm-hmm.
But God, I know I can see the blessing coming. You know what I mean? I can see it coming one day, but there's no time soon. And I believe God going to keep us strong over there because this is nerve-wracking. Every day you drive to your business, you don't see one customer. But we says that every day, like we got customers coming. But we don't, because we know we got tours coming in town, and we need to be open when the tours come, at least for the tours. Mm-hmm. But in-towners don't come now. So that would have been trying
for
to keep an outdoor open.
For those just tuning in, we're speaking with Willie Frazier. He's the owner of Finish Touch Boutique right there at the epicenter of 38th and Chicago. And Willie is part of 8 businesses that have come together to sue the city of Minneapolis over its handling of how that neighborhood is now what that neighborhood now is. Willie is part of a team alleging their businesses were damaged when police stopped responding to the area because that led activists and gangs and crime to move in. So Willie, just to be clear, are you accusing the city of not creating a lawful space and not protecting the businesses and the residents? Because when you refer to they, you mean outsiders have come crime?
Because the city is the reason all this happening. They took everything from us. We're on ground zero over there. And all somebody could have did this was the city. The city took everything. But we have nothing on that street. We don't have a bus ride down that street. And the bus is big advertising. They took every kind of advertising that we had with them down. We have anything. And the city control are putting all this back down now. And they're putting it off area. They get our hopes up, and then they go to another year. And they're just brain-wrecking. Like, they supposed to broke ground this year. Now they're talking about 2026. Mm-hmm. They supposed to broke ground last year.
Yeah.
And the year before that. And they keep putting it off. Why is they started doing this? And they're talking about they can't do it because of the resident. The resident making no, it's not true. And the way I see it, just they see that they can do what they want to do when they want, whenever they get ready to make their move. The same way they took the barricade down. When they got tired of it, they came and took that down. And they kept saying the resident didn't want them to take that down. But they did, so they can do what they want to do. So I'm not buying none of that they're saying.
Not many people are, Willie. I mean, there's a lot of frustration on the part of the city council for keeping, having another meeting. Let's have another public hearing when no decisions continue to be made, a lack of decisions. Ideally, what would you like to see become of that intersection?
Well, first thing I would like them to do, whenever they come over there and do what they're supposed to do, reconstruct the street over here, the first thing I would like them to do is take them names out the street because they're getting disrespectful now for them names to be out in the street. Cars started rolling over them. It's just disrespectful. So I had told them about this 5 years ago. When y'all redo these streets, y'all need to put these names on the sidewalk. And for a lot of reasons. Not just because them know this is huge. And you got kids that haven't been born yet. They can, their parents can bring them to George Floyd Square one day and educate them about how to react when the police pull them over and why these names on the sidewalk. And that needs to happen because this ain't going to never stop. And right now, this has got the name painted in the street, painted, they repaint them every year. This is not going to last forever. Somebody will get tired of painting them one day. So I think these names need to be implanted in the streets, like out in Hollywood, on the sidewalk. You know, and every time we lose a life like that, add their name onto it. Because this is ridiculous. And these kids need to be educated.
For those who haven't been down there, Willie's talking about the names of people that were killed and murdered, by police that are painted on the street by 38th in Chicago. And he's saying he wants those names memorialized on the sidewalk where it's safer and you don't feel disrespectful driving over it. Willie, I hope I expressed that clearly for the listeners that are unfamiliar with those names.
It's not only for the disrespect part. Like I said, it educate these kids that young and not and haven't been born yet, don't know how to react when the police pull them over. This is an educating spot for black people. It's just an educating spot. So their parents can bring them up there and really show them why these names are on the street, and they don't want that to happen to their child. So this is need to be did for a lot of generations to come. You know, them names ain't going to last for generation. And these kids in the world need to have a spot they can come to where their parents can educate them about what's going on in this world. And George Floyd Square, if it's going to happen, that need to be in George Floyd Square. And that's what I said. You know, this really can save lives.
We were also hearing that after the murder of George Floyd, that police were no longer responding to calls for people that live there for any kind of assistance or any help that they needed, that you guys are not happy with the fact that George Floyd Square was overtaken by, quote, civilian occupiers, and that it became a violent, lawless, no-go zone. That's according to the Star Tribune. Did you feel that that's what happened? And then how would you like that area to become safer?
Oh, yes. When it first happened, that's exactly what it was. It wasn't just the police's. No 911 vehicle, ambulance, fire truck, couldn't nobody come up in there. So if you got, a lot of people got shot up in the square, and ambulance were coming out to get them. I seen people drive people to the hospital in their car, right down the street. And some made it, some didn't make it. They didn't make it that time. All because the ambulance won't come in to get them. And people go out there and commit a crime. We had all the criminals in the square. All the criminals, like, it was like coming to Mexico. It really was. I said it. It was like coming to Mexico. If you committed a crime in Minnesota, I don't care if you robbed a bank. If you can make it up in the square, you're safe for a while. They can't come in there and get you. So we were dealing with everybody. We had one guy on the high-speed chase all the way from Brooklyn Park to the square. He made it to the square, and police couldn't come in there and get him. I said, this is bad. They had helicopters all over the square and everything waiting on him to come up out of there. But they couldn't come in there and get him. We had to deal with all of this. So, you know, and people just was scared to come up in there. They know we had all these kind of people up in there. And wasn't know we could do about it. We couldn't do anything about it.
How has your business been able to survive?
Well, that's a good question. My business, I have to do pop-ups, you know, at different events and this and that. That's how I know it's about. Nobody come in and buy nothing, you know. And the restaurant, they're just barely holding on over there. And I do have a chance to move around with my products, but they can't move with the food. And it's just grace of God, man. We don't know what to say. We pray every day before we open up our business and see what's going to happen today. But it's been all God, man, you know. I don't know another way to explain it.
Do you still feel that it's unsafe? Like, would you encourage people to come down?
No, that's the thing. We have you ever heard nothing about 38 in Chicago in a while. There's no criminal acting over there now. They came over there and found and cleaned up the streets. So it's safe to come over there now. But it's been planning the people here so deep. They're just still afraid to come over there because it was incident after incident, incident after incident. But you haven't been saying all that on TV lately. You know, it's real quiet over there now. It's very safe to come over. And I don't know how long. The only way I see the media is the one got us in this mess. The media is the need the one to get us out of this mess. You know, on the news, they always say, you know what I'm saying, every time a shooting or something happens over there, they can't wait to put it on the news. But they're never putting nothing good on the news about 38. And that's the sad part. There always be something rough. Like, they don't want people to come over there. They're always feeding us bad energy anytime something goes on the news. They never put good energy on there about 38th Street. Since all
well, you know what, Willie? We are going to buck that trend. If you are in the area, visit Willie. Willie Frazier, he is the owner of Finish Touch Boutique. I know he's doing pop-ups, but you also have a physical site. Where is your location, Willie, for people that do want to come down and shake your hand?
Okay, I'm at 3727 Chicago Avenue in George Floyd Square. And my time, hours that I'm opening from 3 to 8 o'clock every day, Wednesday through Saturday. And I'm located next door to Just Turkey. So if you Google up Just Turkey, you'll be right there where I'm at. Next door to Just Turkey.
Thank you for the time because, you know, we talk all the time on the radio about what the city council's doing and what they're not doing. And we rarely hear from any business owners down there or residents who are obviously directly impacted. So thank you for giving a voice to those folks. And we appreciate it. And we may reach out again if you're willing to talk to us.
Yes, I will. And I appreciate you reaching out to me.
Willie Frazier.
Thank you, sir.
Finish Touch Boutique right there at 38th in Chicago. Let's react to what he had to say. It's 11:23. Mm-hmm. More with Adam and Jordana next.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
It was an interesting conversation with Willie Frazier, the owner of Finish Touch Boutique, part of a group of 8 businesses that are suing the city of Minneapolis for lost revenue because it, you know, that post George Floyd's murder, it was very challenging for them to get new clients down there.
It's continuing to be why every time we hear about, well, what are we going to do about George Floyd Square? And I mean, if the city council has one more delay or can't make a decision, not only that, but the third precinct with what's happening there. I mean, could you imagine living down there? And not only have you gone through this, I'm talking about whether you own a business or live down there. Not only did you go through 2020 and after the fact and just how horrific that was, but every day you walk by the third precinct and it still stands there burnt out to remind you of how crappy and dumpy a time it was. And if you're a business owner, where do we hear of the business owners saying, boy, we really love all this debate about what's going to happen here at George Floyd Square. Boy, let's keep it going for some time before we actually make a decision on it. I mean, what Willie said is exactly right. That seems like a simple solution to me. Open up the intersection again, make it a normal business, and at the same time, you can have a memorial to not only George Floyd, but other people who've been killed by police, and put that where you can have both
on the sidewalks.
Things. Exactly. Why is that not as simple as it sounds? I don't understand that.
I guess the city council just can't make a decision. Things are all done by committee, and they, you know, you listen to input, go with what most people want. I mean, Willie's examples of how he would fix it were not outrageous. You know, give a memorial on the sidewalk, but open it up, make it more user friendly to people, get people down there. I'm glad we spoke to him because it's hard to put yourself in that position there. You know, Mark and I still go there. There's a vegan restaurant down there that we really, in the area, that we do frequent. We always feel okay. You know, when we're down there, we go at night. I would encourage people. I mean, I hear what Willie's saying, but it's true that we haven't heard of an incident happening in that area in a long time. And you know what? Next time the chief is on, we're going to ask him about that.
Yeah.
If there is a 911 call, if there are people in distress, has that been rectified? Can you get help? Are they policing that area? And are they welcomed? Because Willie seemed to welcome a police presence. He does not want lawlessness. He wants people to be safe and he wants people to do business so they can support themselves in George Floyd Square. It's not that hard, City Council. Figure it out, refurbish the place, and get it back up and running.
Yeah, and just to a texter's point, yeah, I realize that the 3rd Precinct isn't right there at 38th in Chicago. It's in a totally...
Right.
But it's the same point where there's been nothing decided. And yet here's this burned out police station that they have fencing around, and it's like a monument to ineptitude. It's ridiculous. Do something. Honestly.
Thank you.
Move along here. And you can do that with still honoring or recognizing the awful thing that happened to George Floyd. And how it spurned, hopefully, this change that, again, we're still struggling with. But you can't deny what happened, and you can't deny the impact of what it had. But you can also, guess what, try to do the best for the people who live there and try to make it a place where people can go and enjoy it and also pay tribute if they wish to do so.
You can't do nothing. We don't want to leave you on a contentious note. Some of the texts for like the worst and best spring breaks were hilarious. So we are going to share some of those. If you texted us, don't feel that you were forgotten. We read your text. We chuckled. We laughed. And then we will bring them back. So some of the best and worst spring break stories next on CCO. A lot of kids on spring break are about to go on spring break. Adam and I were reminiscing about our spring breaks or lack thereof. Spring breaks, because now, you know, the high school seniors are getting their parents to pay for a trip to Mexico, and the parents are going and watching the 18-year-olds get drunk and maybe partying with some of their parent friends as well. But Adam took us on a trip down memory lane with his exciting and super sexy trip to Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
He was on the riverboat, I think possibly with my grandmother at the time.
You know what? It would have been a hell of a lot better if there would have been a riverboat. You know, I will say this about Branson, Missouri. Have you ever been to Branson, Missouri?
No, but I'm sure it's fabulous.
It's like, I mean, I'm a sucker for like old school just motels, you know, and Branson was full. I don't know. I haven't been there since I was there in college, but it was full of all these kind of theme motels. And it was very enjoyable. I won't say I had a terrible time, but it was okay.
So we asked for your best and worst spring breaks, and we didn't get a chance to read the text, so I'm bringing it back because some of them are just really great. Here's a text that says, guys, we went on a rock climbing trip in Tennessee over spring break. Climbing trip in Tennessee in 1991. We got arrested for simple possession of marijuana.
Uh-oh.
And got thrown in jail for a few hours.
Jeez.
Because they used to do that, you know, when you had a joint on you.
Sure.
The person continues, the wonderful officers in Tennessee offered us a deal and let us go for $407 each. No record of us ever being there, but we got out of jail and finished our trip with no weed, LOL.
And also those police officers in Tennessee were $470 richer.
They were?
You know?
And a couple of joints.
Yeah.
And high.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a good story. My goodness. Spring break story from 1987, Daytona Beach. This texter writes, first year of MTV spring break television. Ah, so it's MTV's fault. We're ordering food from a restaurant that delivered to the hotel. Good food, actually. We took a taxi to the nearest mall to get our ears pierced. Actually, our left ear, because that's how you did it back then, and saw the restaurant we were ordering from ended up being a restaurant and a local hangout for the hookers.
Mm.
Needless to say, we did not order from them anymore. Yeah, baby. So I wonder if they still have that left piercing.
You know, these are the times that, you know, emboldened us and made us who we are in our lives. I could not think of it. If there was a time in my life, and, you know, obviously we're the MTV generation, Jor.
Yes,
and
for sure.
MTV Spring Break, and thinking of those videos, I don't know if there was a time in my life where I really wanted to be a part of that, but let me tell you something now. I could not think of anywhere else I would not rather be than in one of those, on one of those beaches, just full of throngs of young people just boozing it up.
Can you imagine if you looked at those pictures during COVID times, you would think to yourself, oh my gosh, how did we all live? I mean, all of the communicable diseases that were clearly being passed around at that point. But let's get back to some of your memories here. Guys, hi, back in 1994, two of my friends and I drove to South Padre, Texas. That was a super hot place at one point, South Padre Island. We went to a bar the first night we got in town. I left early as well as one of my other friends. Next morning, we looked up and looked over to see Mark, his friend, but my other friend wasn't there. Next thing I hear is a car pull up, someone walking around, stepped out of the bar, and they arrested him for public intoxication. Yeah. He had a court day on the day we left, wound up paying a $100 fine. I mean, can you imagine that? He spent the night in jail. Can you imagine going to spring break and having to spend the night?
No.
This is South Padre Island, so that's still Texas. But imagine being in a Mexican prison, a Mexican jail for the night. I think that would be...
No, thank you.
That'd be terrifying.
Locked up abroad. Here's another South Padre Island story. I went to South Padre Island same week as all the schools in Texas are on break. No good. Lil Wayne did an outdoor concert nearby.
Oh.
Shots were fired during the concert. Also forgot to add that our rental car sustained a hit and run. And we had no cell service down there.
Oh, that sucks. See, that's a terrible story. Yeah. Took our young preteen sons to Mexico a few years back. We had a late dinner at Carlos and Charlie's.
Yeah.
And let's just say a wet t-shirt contest broke out. Couldn't get out of there fast enough. Yeah, preteen sons. I mean, they would be excited about that, but you might not want to expose them.
Literally.
That's good.
Carlos and Charlie's. Remember those Carlos and Charlie's in Mexico?
They still are.
Yeah.
This text is fun. My buddy and I drove straight through 30 hours from Winona State to Orlando in March of 1972 in a 1971 Pinto hatchback parked illegally by a palm reader. A palm reader place down there that just opened. I'm sorry. This is too many things. I don't know. I parked and I just opened the hood of the car for $5. She told me, the palm reader. For $5, she told me I'd marry a girl with long dark hair and have 3 kids. And that actually happened. We're still married for 42 years. Went back to the Pinto, closed the hood, and drove away.
Nice.
That's funny.
Excellent. I went out on Key West in 1984 with a guy who wasn't qualified. We got lost in the Gulf of Mexico for 3 days. Oh, you have to call in.
Excuse me, the Gulf of America.
So the Gulf of America. Well, back then it was the Gulf of Mexico. You got to call in. 3 days you were out lost at sea? Could you imagine the terror on your parents?
Well, they could. It was back in the day. They couldn't reach them. They had no idea they were lost. They thought they were having the time of their life.
Lost.
Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. Let's see. I'm trying to see a couple of other ones. You see any newer ones that we should be looking at?
I just read that.
Or you guys can certainly share
them.
There's one.
I was awarded the sex god of Cancun back in 2002. I'm calling BS on that one.
You never know. 1976 at a State Cloud University, St. Cloud State University, went to Daytona on 4 buses, bongs underneath and blankets and beers everywhere. Sticky floor from beers running down the aisle. What a blast. Oh, my God. And you guys say kids are delinquent nowadays. My goodness. My best spring break story is 1968 from a texter. I was stationed in the Navy in Jacksonville, Florida. Some friends and I went down to Miami for a long weekend. I met a lady who 58 years later, we're still married.
Oh, nice.
I thought he met a 57-year-old woman. Okay, there you go. Last spring break I've ever been on. Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. I love that.